I want us to turn in our Bibles tonight, the book of Psalms, chapter number 55, and the book of 2 Samuel as well. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. I'm wanting the mind of God tonight. I know what He wants me to preach. I'm just not real sure where He wants me to preach it. Don't let that make you nervous tonight. God knows exactly what's in the hearts of people. He knows the needs in our hearts. He's a great big God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I sure do thank Him tonight. He sure has spoken to my heart and sure has helped me with this subject we'll be dealing with tonight. And I want Him to help us. I'm preaching with you tonight, not at you. Somebody say amen. Now, for us to get any help tonight, I need you to help me right here. I need you to do me a favor. Y'all take them halos off and put them in your hip pockets. All right? We're going to have to get real honest tonight if we're going to get any help. And so let's get honest before the Lord. I want to read just a few verses, I guess Psalm 55. Verse number 12, this is a Psalm of David. As he's fleeing from Absalom, verse number 12 said, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it." What about that? "Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him." Look at verse number 13. Has anybody ever lived here? "But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." Let's go now, if you will, to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 15. We'll get introduced to this character David's talking about in Psalm 55. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 12. "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom." My Father, I love you tonight. God, I'm in over my head and I need holy power. I need help tonight. I pray, Father, that You'll empty me of myself and fill me with You. Lord, I pray tonight the Word of God would go forth in spite of us. Lord, You let the Word of God have the power and the preeminence and the presence that it needs in our midst tonight. God, would You do something supernatural in this place? Lord, I pray You'll root around in our hearts, God, and find those hidden things that's hidden from everybody else and even hidden from our own hearts. God, would You put Your finger on the things that need to come out of us tonight? Lord, I want You tonight to set a tone tonight. God, set a meeting tone. God, let this meeting tonight be what Liberty Baptist Church needs. God, I pray, my Father, that You'll use the Word of God on us. And Lord, would You leave us tonight in a better shape than what You find us, my Father? I pray, dear God, for holy unction. I pray for help in the Holy Ghost. I pray You'll keep our hearts right. Deal with us in grace, my Father, I pray. We'll give You the glory for what You do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can be seated tonight. We're introduced to a man in 2 Samuel chapter number 15. The very first mention of this man in our Bible comes in verse number 12. Absalom sends for Ahithophel. Now, Ahithophel, this is not when he shows up as far as the pages of history is concerned, but by name. This is the first time that he's mentioned in the Word of God. He is the counselor of David. He's the man whom David is speaking of in Psalm chapter 55 when he said it was a man mine equal. He didn't say it was a man inferior. This is a man that David has used as his guide, as his counselor. This is a man who is the counselor to the king of Israel, to God's man. And this man is introduced to us in a time of controversy, in a time of trouble, and in a time of need in David's life. And to the dismay of Ahithophel, we don't find out first about his counsel with David. We don't find out about his friendship. We don't find out about the kindness. We don't find out about the days that Ahithophel has spent with the man of God in the house of God. But rather we find out this man has turned his back on his king, has joined up with Absalom. You Bible readers understand and know where we are in 2 Samuel. Absalom has risen up. He's wanting to be king. He's wanting to be elevated. He's got a pride problem. He's got a position problem. He's got all kinds of difficulties and troubles going on. And he's trying to take the kingdom from David. Isn't it amazing? Anytime somebody's trying to take the thing from the authority that God's given, that they do it with smooth talk. They do it with cunning ways. And they'll do it in the dark. Amen. Can I say the devil loves dealing in the dark? He can't handle things that are in the light. Amen. I don't know which side to preach to. Amen. The devil don't like things that's in the light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, John 3 said. Once a thing gets in the light, the devil ain't got no hand on it or no power over it. Absalom went out by the city gate and privately, secretly, behind David's back, has now taken the hearts of the people. He's got it in for his own daddy. I mean, that's a wicked man. He'd rather have power than a parent. He'd rather have that position and that prestige than to be right with his own family and be right with God. Amen. I believe we've run across a few in this day that's that way. Amen. But Ahithophel, he's David's counselor. And Absalom sends for Ahithophel. I want you to notice some things. I want to try to preach tonight. I don't know if I'm going to get to it, but I'm going to try to preach on this thought. From dedication to demise. From dedication to demise. I want you to see this. First of all, see the testimony of Ahithophel. I want to say he's a saved man. Amen. Look what's happening when we meet him in chapter 15. Ahithophel is offering sacrifices. There he is. He's near the altar. He's near the house of God. He's offering sacrifices. He spoke, if we were to turn over to chapter number 16 and verse number 23, he spoke as a man of the oracles of God. He sacrificed to the Lord and he spoke for the Lord. Amen. Everything on the surface looks like it's real good. Everything looks real well. I mean, Ahithophel comes in, he's got his suit pressed. He's got his tie on straight. And he knows when to lift his hand. He knows when to say amen. He knows when to holler hallelujah. But something in the heart of Ahithophel is not right. Amen. I see the testimony. He's a saved man. He's not only a saved man, but he's a serving man. I want to try to lay some groundwork here. He's a serving man. 2 Samuel, he's the man of the Bible said, verse 12 of chapter 15, he's David's counselor. Now I want you to realize this is not some backwoods, unlearned, unwise man. This is a man that understands the workings of the kingdom. This is a man that understands the Word of God. I mean, he is a counselor to the songwriter of our Bible. He's a counselor to the man that God says a man after his own heart. This is no fool. Amen. Ahithophel's a man of great stature, great strength, and great wisdom and great knowledge. He's a serving man. He's been the counselor to King David. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Psalm, chapter 41. We'll see what David had to say about Ahithophel. Psalm chapter number 41 and verse number 9. What does he say? Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Amen. He's a companion to David. Amen. He's that man that's taking sweet counsel together with David. He's a saved man and he's a serving man. But something has happened. I see not only Ahithophel's testimony, but I see his tragedy. Amen. What happened in Ahithophel's life? Turn with me back, probably the darkest chapter of our Bible. Certainly the darkest chapter of the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse number 3. You find 2 Samuel 11 is a place where the king's routed battle of the Ark of the Covenant's out. And David should have been out too, but he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. Can I just pause right there and say, it does matter us being in the right place with the right people doing the right thing at the right time. Hey. David never would have committed adultery had it not been for him being in the wrong place at the wrong time, not in the right place. Somebody holler, amen. Hey. Here it is, time when the kings are going to battle. And verse number 3, he's already been up on his rooftop after he's been to bed, by the way. He got up off his bed, went up on the rooftop, looked over and saw somebody bathing. We know it to be Bathsheba. This is the chapter where David sinned with Bathsheba. Look what the Bible says here. Verse number 3 is going to shed a little light on this thing. David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? So did you see who Bathsheba's daddy is? Her daddy is Eliam. Now y'all stay with me. I got some groundwork to lay, and I'll preach here in a minute. I just want to lay this groundwork, give this introduction, and then we'll preach. Did you see who Bathsheba's grandfather is, or who her father is? Her father is Eliam. Now if you will, go with me over to chapter 23 of the same book, when they're giving that hall of fame of David's mighty men. Verse number 34, I want you to see this. 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 34. See what the Bible says there. And Eliphelet, the son of Abishai, the son of Machonite. Eliam, notice this. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, of the Gilonite. Amen. What happened in Ahithophel's life that turned everything, that turned that saved man and that serving man and changed everything that went on? I want to say the sin David committed was with Ahithophel's granddaughter. In essence, David's raped her. You imagine what it'd do in your heart if somebody raped your granddaughter, if somebody committed that sin against you and broke your family. I want to say that's what happened to Ahithophel. Amen. He is Bathsheba's grandfather. I see the testimony of Ahithophel. I see the tragedy. Am I preaching to anybody tonight who's ever been through a tragedy? Has things ever not turned out the way that you'd hoped they would? Amen. I know I am, because I'm in the room. Amen. And I know some of your stories as well. Things don't always turn out the way we want them to. Things don't always happen the way that we had planned. But
tragedy comes, heartaches, disappointments come, sin comes, and things that we had nothing to do with but yet affect us. That's where Ahithophel's living. Amen. I see the testimony of Ahithophel. I see the tragedy of Ahithophel. But I see the trouble of Ahithophel. Amen. Let's get through this and we'll see the message and I'm done. I notice what happens here. Ahithophel's called by Absalom and he comes there to the kingdom. I notice here he's off by himself. He's all by himself. He's stewing over what's happened to Bathsheba. Amen. His testimony is he's the same man. His trouble is who his family was and the sin that came. But his trouble is that he has grown bitter over the things that's happened with David and his granddaughter. Amen. How do we know he's bitter, preacher? I thought you never would ask. Amen. I see some signs here. There in verse number 12, the verse that we read in 1 Samuel 15. He's there. He's in his hometown. He's a counselor to the king. He's a man of position. He belongs in Jerusalem. But yet he's at Gilo. He's not there. And we'll find out later on, even though he's in his hometown, he's not at home. Amen. Oh, my friend, he's out all by himself. You better watch out for that crowd. That's always wanting to be by theirself. I understand. Now, don't throw rocks at me. I understand being by yourself with God. I understand getting locked up with the Lord. But friend, somebody that wants to even shut God out, he's over there going through the motions. But he's all alone. Amen. That is our first clue. That he is bitter. He's not in the right place. He's not doing the right thing. For him to be in Jerusalem, for him to be where the king was, would have stirred up too much hurt in him. So he said, I'm going out here by myself and do my own thing. I'll say he's a bitter man. Amen. He's alone. Can I say tonight, someone who's bitter loves to be alone. They love that isolation. By the way, that is a tactic of the devil. If he can ever isolate you, he can destroy you. Amen. I understand we ought to be separated. We ought to be a separate people. But we're not to be an isolated people. That's a tactic of the devil. If he can isolate you, make you think you're the only one whose granddaughter's ever been mistreated. Make you think sin's your family's the only one sin ever came. Amen. He can literally destroy you. And we'll see that's what he did to Ahithophel. Amen. He's alone. I'll say number two, he's aggressive. He jumped at the opportunity to get David back. He calls for him and he comes in and gives that counsel. And he says, you just let me at him. Amen. Chapter 17 and verse number 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men. I will arise and pursue after David this night. Amen. I'll come upon him while he's weary and weak-handed and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only. Can I remind you, David just said this is his friend. With friends like that, who needs enemies? I mean, come on, y'all. Who needs an enemy with a friend like that? What's happened? What took place? That bitterness has gotten him so aggressive in his heart. He's ready to jump at the opportunity to get David back. He's alone. He's aggressive. He's angry. He's malicious. He's murderous. Amen. He didn't say, I'll just go down there and I'll have a talk with him. He said, I'll go kill him. I'll smite him. Amen. Can I say that bitter spirit is a murderous spirit? It'll kill everything in its path. Amen. It'll take a man and make him a monster. Amen. It'll take somebody who loved God, somebody who served God, somebody who's a friend of the man of God, and give them a murderous spirit and tear them apart from the inside. This thing called bitterness. Amen.
I want you to see three things. All that's just introduction. Now I want to preach three thoughts and I'm done. I want you to see this. From dedication to demise. There's probably some sitting on the pews here tonight that's fighting this thing called bitterness. There's probably some here tonight that in your heart, nobody else knows about it. You've carried it off somewhere out in the woods by yourself. You're still going through the motions. I told you it's going to have to take your halos off. Somebody holler amen. You probably took it out all by yourself. Nobody knows. Nobody's got a clue that you're bitter. But something has happened. That event has taken place. That thing has happened in your past that you cannot get past. And now bitterness has risen up in you. I want you to see this. He had it hid pretty good. He had it hid pretty good until Absalom came along. What about that? If you didn't get nothing else I've said tonight, you don't get nothing else I do say, you better get this. For every Ahithophel, there is an Absalom. You notice he's over there minding his own business. He's not trying to get David back. He's not trying to harm David. He's not trying to hurt anybody until somebody comes along that's got the same opinion that he does. Amen. And when he meets up with somebody that's got as much hatred in him for the same man that Ahithophel's got, he's ready to spring into action. Amen. There is in Ahithophel's life, there is that eruption of the bitterness. I want to talk about that just a minute. Here, this great grandson, this great grandson of his, the son, this man Ahithophel, he's got a granddaughter named Bathsheba that's now wed with the king and had other children, and Absalom's wanting to come along and uproot David. Absalom's not of the lineage of Ahithophel. And here Absalom is. He's there. He's wanting to kill David. And that hatred that's in Absalom spills over into Ahithophel. Stirs something within him. We better be careful the company we keep. We better be careful who we hang around. That bitterness that's in somebody else will rise up bitterness in us. Can I just be real honest right here? I'm about Tartar Line preachers that says I ain't got no bitterness in me. Let me just let us in on something tonight. It's in every one of us. A man, every man, woman, every person old enough to have feelings. There's bitterness in us. What we better do is quit bragging about not having it and learn how to keep it buried. Amen. Amen. You ain't gonna keep it buried hanging around Absalom. Amen. You ain't gonna keep it buried. It will erupt on you. This thing will grow. It'll get big on you. Somebody holler amen. You get around the wrong crowd. Amen. I've been around some of that crowd that's always wanting to say something bad. And in me, that is my flesh. I love to hear it, preacher. Hey, every one of us does. We want to jump on it. Somewhere in our building, in our makeup, somewhere in our building blocks, there's something in us that says if we can make somebody else look bad, it'll make us look good. Can I say that's a part of the curse? Amen. Here's Ahithophel. He said, if I can just yoke up with Absalom, here my chance has finally come. I'm going to get David back. This bitterness grows best in the soil of self-justification and self-vindication. Here's Ahithophel. David's done him wrong. It's his chance to get him back. And that bitterness gets big in him. Amen. Well, I see the eruption. I see the eruption of his bitterness. Number two, I see the extent of his bitterness. Now here we are. Some babies has been born since the evil took place. Some children have been born. One of them we know is King Solomon. But he wasn't King Solomon at this time. Amen. There's some babies been born. And now can I remind you, if Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandmother, then Ahithophel is Solomon's great-grandfather. Is everybody all right out there? Amen. The man that we know as the wisest, smartest man in our Bible was the great-grandson of the man we're preaching about tonight, Ahithophel. Amen. And Ahithophel, chapter 17, I read it to you. He said, let me go get David. You know what's going to happen when he kills David? It's going to change the whole course of things. Everything that's going to happen is going to be changed. Amen. Aren't you glad God had His hand on David? Amen. Ahithophel wants to kill David, and he wasn't thinking about that grandbaby that one day is going to be king. What happens when the king's put to death? What happened when Saul was killed? Who was killed with him? Jonathan was. That whole family was wiped out. And that's what Ahithophel's doing. Little does he realize that if he's successful, he's going to take away the throne from his own great-grandson. Amen. He's going to put his own grandkids to death. Can I say, the bitterness in Ahithophel almost killed his generations. It almost killed his offspring. And can I submit to us tonight, if we don't get our bitterness under control, them little babies sitting on the pew with us, we're going to kill them too. Amen. It's killing them babies. You might think you got it hid. You know where bitter kids come from? Bitter parents. Bitter grandparents. Hello? Is everybody all right? The eruption, but the extent of his bitterness. Brother Lee, he didn't realize he's killing his own loved ones. He didn't realize this thing that's in me, that's eating at me, my wanting to get even with David, my wanting to get square, get right with David, get all this stuff behind me. I finally got the opportunity. He doesn't realize that the people he loves is going to be affected as well. Oh, somebody just done me wrong, for you just don't understand. Oh, you try me. I might. Amen. Somebody said, you just don't know what they've done to me, preacher. Why don't you get your eyes off of them and look at them little ones sitting beside you? Why don't you get your eyes off of that one that done you so wrong? Why don't you get your eyes off of the one that's mistreated you so bad and look around at what God's given you, what God's blessed you with? Amen. You can look back in your past. Every one of us could look back and pull something out of the past. But look what God's done in the present. That bitterness in us would love to destroy what's here. I wish I had a camp meeting message, but I ain't. This is what God's got on me. The extent of his bitterness. It's killing his family. Can I say, Mom and Daddy, you get bitter? Whether you want to, whether you mean to, whether it's purposeful, it's going to get off on your kids. And they're going to live a twisted life. They're going to think everybody's out to get them. They're going to think everything is bad. Hello, I wish I had somebody right there. Hey, they're going to think, well, Mom and Daddy's this way. Granny and Pawpaw's this way. It must be the right way. God help us. We've raised a bitter generation. And it's not their fault. It's the Mom and Daddy's fault. The extent of our bitterness. We're killing our kids. Amen. I see the eruption of the bitterness. I see the extent of the bitterness. I see the end of the bitterness. There ain't nobody talking about this stuff much in our circles. And I ain't for circles. Y'all hear what I'm saying. Man, it runs in circles. Don't ever get nowhere. Amen. He just stays in one place and goes round and round. But of like-minded people, I travel some, I see everything that's going on in this movement. There's nobody hardly talking about this stuff. And there's a generation coming up. Mom and Daddy's got so twisted and so sideways with church, God, and the Bible. Hey, I got so messed up with the preacher. I got so messed up with God that the children don't know where to go. I want to help them tonight if I can. Some folks say you ought not talk about these things, but look with me. Chapter 17, verse 23. I wouldn't preach this, preacher. You just take it up with God. Look at verse 23. When Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order. Watch your King James Bible. And hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. What killed Ahithophel, preacher? Well, the Bible says things didn't go his way. The Bible says that his idea wasn't taken. The Bible says that he didn't get to get back at David the way he wanted to. He saw that his counsel was not taken. He got up, went to the house, got everything in order, went out, hung himself. Committed suicide. Can I say, at alarming rates, people are ending their lives. And the majority of them, God help us, the majority of them stem from some root of bitterness. This is where the root brings forth its fruit. Bitter roots will not bring sweet fruits. Bitter roots always bring bitter fruits. Notice what he said. When Ahithophel saw his counsel was not followed, depression set in. Now, y'all just going to have to bear with me a minute right here. I used to think depression was just silliness. Hello? I used to think that it was just an outward sign of some weak inward man. Till I got there myself, Brother David. And I realized this thing ain't just some figment of some man's imagination. This thing's real. That's where Ahithophel got to. How else is he going to take his own life? He's empty. He's barren. He's pain. His heart's in pain. He thought he's had the plan. He thought everything's going to go my way. I got this whole thing planned out. Then another counselor comes in. Says Absalom, you better not take the word of Ahithophel. He's pained. His cry. I understand we could preach typology and say he's a type of Judas Iscariot. But I want to make him not a type, a real man. God, help us. How many, if I told you I don't have a camp meeting message. I wish I had one. I wanted to preach out of Luke 15 and swing off these chandeliers, but God wouldn't let me. There's a man that's depressed. He's empty. He's hurt. He's crying. The Bible says he took his own life. Bitterness in our lives. I know you've heard this said. But I liked it so good, I'm going to say it again. Bitterness in our lives. Brother David, if I was bitter at you, that'd be like me drinking poison expecting it to hurt you. It won't happen. Well, preacher, you just don't understand what they did to me. poison. Bitterness is a poison that destroys its container. There's some people in our churches, in good, fundamental Baptist churches, toting the right books, singing the right songs, got the right haircuts and hymn lines and hallelujahs, and they're so messed up in bitterness. Ministry requires your heart. This place is known worldwide. You can't go anywhere without somebody knowing about Liberty Baptist Church. That didn't come at a low price tag. I understand all that. But for you to minister to somebody, you got to open your heart. Got to be like Adam was when God took that rib out. It exposed his heart. There's a lot of preaching there I ain't got time to do. But you'll never minister with a closed heart. You'll never have an open hand in a closed heart. And when you open your heart, you give somebody the ability to hurt you. You give somebody the ability to rip your heart out. I believe we could make a pretty good case from the Scripture that Ahithophel was a minister. He ministered to the needs of David. He could not... Now, here he is. His counsel is the one leading Israel to a certain extent. He didn't know how to take the word no. And when Absalom said no, it was more than what he could take. And so I see the end of Ahithophel. The eruption, the extent, and the end. Well, I believe it'd be sin tonight for me to get us all in bitterness and not get us out. So I'm going to give you two or three things there and I'm done. Preacher, whoever you got playing for invitations, it ought to come ahead. Would you come and just play real soft? I want to say some things about bitterness and I'm done. First of all, if you're going to get free of bitterness, is everybody listening? You got to find it and acknowledge it. You want to know why bitterness is killing most people? Because they're not willing to admit that they got it. Well, I never could be bitter. Man that thinks he stands better take heed lest he fall. I got news for you. It's in you. It may not have reared its ugly head lately, but it's in you. You've got to find it and acknowledge it. So I told you you're going to have to take your halo off. You're going to have to get honest. I don't want you to raise your hands publicly, but have you ever struggled with bitterness? Until you're willing to confess it as sin, you're never going to get past it. You're never going to get help till you find it and acknowledge it. Number two, you got to find it. Then you got to forgive somebody. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You got to forgive somebody. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a conscious decision. Wouldn't it have been good for the Lord when He said, Father, forgive me, if the nails had fell out of His hands? Wouldn't it have been real good if the Lord had said, Father, forgive them. And the wounds in his back healed up. Wouldn't it have been good, Brother Joe, if he said, Father, forgive them. And all them centurions fell at the cross and said, you know what, Lord, we're wrong. We're sorry. You see, forgiveness don't always change things externally. We was at youth camp 2 years ago and there's a preacher had his heart broke, been hurt. And he come to me and said, Preacher, I feel like I need to call that other preacher. Try to get things right. Brother David, he went out the side door of the chapel on the phone. And he come back. I just thought he was broke when he went out. He come back and laid his head on my knee. Knelt down beside me, laid his head on my knee. Looked up and said, Preacher, that didn't go well. Can I just be real honest tonight? That thing that happened, that hurt that you got, that decision to forgive may not make it better on the outside. The first thing Christ said on the cross, Father, forgive them. But externally, nothing changed. Some of you's been hurt by family. I wish I could tell you that your forgiveness was going to make Christmas wonderful this year. But it may not. Forgiveness is not easy. But it's always right. It might not make everything on the outside instantly better, but on the inside, you'll be more Christ-like if you can forgive. Father, forgive them. You got to find it. You got to forgive it. Here's a real hard one. You got to do some forgiving, but you also got to do some forgetting. Well, I can't, preacher. First Peter. Peter said, casting all your care upon Him. For He careth. That's continual. That's forever. That's on and on and on. I can't get free of this bitterness, preacher. Cast it on the Lord. Matthew 11:28-29. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul said, Lord, take this thorn out of my flesh 3 times. And the Lord said, no, I won't take it, but I will give you some grace. I can't forgive. I can forgive, but I can't forget, preacher. You don't know what the grace is about this forgiving thing? You all saw it illustrated on your way to church tonight. Has anybody ever wondered why the windshield of your car is bigger than the rearview mirror? Because what's ahead is more important than what's behind. Somehow, Detroit and all them places that's built them cars new, the future's more important than the past. I can't forget, preacher, I understand. But you can get to a place where you hold the past as past. And the future as future. Find it. Forgive it. Forget it. Then forsake that hatred. Go into the book of Ephesians. And I'm done. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse 26. I'm glad God said it was all right to be mad. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Some of us, not only the suns went down on our wrath, but the Christmas trees went down on it year after year after year after year. That's not a period there. You got your Bible open? That's not a period. That's not the end of the story. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. You're giving the devil real estate in your life. Hanging on to this bitterness. I didn't come tonight to preach on tithing, but how many of us believe that withholding our tithe is robbing God? Can I remind you? The Lord said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. For us to want to take vengeance, we're guilty of the same sin that a man who does not tithe is guilty of. We're taking what's rightfully God's. You've got to forsake that hatred. It killed Ahithophel. And if we don't get rid of our pride, get real honest before God, it's going to kill us too. It's real easy to preach on them outward sins. But everybody looks pretty good tonight. But hidden in our hearts, every one of us, there's some bitterness. Let's stand together, heads bowed. Eyes are closed. It's altars open. Preacher's coming. I want to ask you tonight, you'd be honest before the Lord.